In this world today, we all are looking for security of one type or another. Security in the workplace, security in healthcare. I was at healthcare there last Monday night, and I ended up coming home because, to make the long story short, I'm a diabetic, so I had nothing to eat that particular day at 1 o'clock, and I had to go out because I had hurt my toe, and it was bleeding, and I lifted the big toenail up on my big toe, my right foot, and that was bleeding, and my wasn't ever paining. It was better. I really said, well, being a diabetic, I better go out and get it checked. So I got out there. It was about 3:45. At 5:30, they came and said, we're sending you an x-ray just to make sure your toe is not broke. I said, toe is not broke, but x-ray it anyway, if that's what you want to do. So they did. Come 7:30, I still had not gotten in to see the doctor. Now, by this time, my sugars have plummeted, and so I had to eat. I went up, and I said to them, well, you know, I'm a diabetic. I need to eat something. I said, I can't eat the food that's here because I have to have gluten-free. So I said, I know I'm in fast track, which is in health science. I said, can you go in there and let me know how more, much longer? I mean, where am I to in the fast track? No, she said, we can't do that. This is a nurse now. No, I said, can't you just go in and see if my chart's there or wherever? No, she said, I can't. And she said, I can't dive. I said, do you have any orange juice or apple juice? No, she said, the only thing I can give you is water. So I sat back down, called Bill. Bill, what will I do? He said, come home. So I said, good enough, Lord. I'm coming home. I went home, and before I went to bed, took two Aleve, got up next morning, foot's okay. No pain. So yes, we're all looking for some security in our health care. We're looking for security in our home, be it insurance or a security system. Looking for security in the car. And of course, if you're like me, and I think most of you are, we're all looking for security in our retirement. Now, you name it, everyone wants some peace of mind in this life. But as we all know, and we come to find it out so quickly, there's nothing that is secure in this world. In a blink of an eye, everything we have can just be gone. So this morning we're going to take a look at a few verses in the Bible where one woman had a security system that could not be destroyed or taken away from her. It was a secure security system. It was God's security system. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we know this world is just about over. And the only thing that is left that is secure is you and your second coming. It's a promise that we are holding you to, that you made and said to your disciples, behold, I come quickly. Lord, I ask that you would speak through this message today. Speak through me. And Lord, I ask that you speak for me. Lord, bless each one that is here this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're going to need your Bibles, as always. And we're going to turn to the book of Luke, and Jane read that scripture so beautifully this morning. Thank you, Jane, wherever you are. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. And now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted and with much serving And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. In other words, Jesus, give Martha the instruction, the command to go help me. That's pretty much what she's saying. But Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken her away. The context of this story, Martha has opened her home to Jesus. She did her best to be a good hostess. Like we often do on Sabbath when we open our homes or even during the week to other people to share, even if it's just a humble meal of bread and tea or bread and water and just a fellowship. While Mary, on the other hand, opened her heart to Jesus and tried her best just to love the Lord. Too often, we are more like Martha's than like Mary's, and this applies to the men as well as the women. In our zeal to serve the Lord, and I know we all want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord in all that I could possibly do, wherever I can. I don't want to be weighed in the balance and found wanting. But sometimes in that zeal to serve the Lord in collection and preaching and singing and ushering and deaconessing and all of that and witnessing, sometimes we wind up ignoring him. While Martha labored, Mary listened. She found a place of stillness at the feet of Jesus. But not only that, she found other things too, and we're going to take a look at those. In verse 40, she found a place where we can forget all our cares. Now, there's nobody here today that can tell me they don't have a care, because we all have cares and worries, don't we? Don't we? I know when the wind blows, that high thing, I worry about the shingles on my roof. They've gotten old. They've got to be replaced, but can't do it yet. Got to wait for the good weather. So I'm kind of waiting. I says, oh, Lord, please don't let the shingles, whatever they are. But if they do, keep everything dry. We all have cares. I did that night. I went to the health stars with my toe. I wasn't sure. I mean, it was bleeding. And it was, oh, was it ever painful. We all have cares. While Martha was so distracted about serving, Mary was sitting calmly, calmly. Not in a big rush, not rambling off to the Lord all that she was worried about or frightened dead of, but calmly listening to the words of Jesus. What a privilege that was, to sit and listen to Jesus speak. When we come into his presence by prayer, Bible reading, worship, etc., the burdens of life tend to grow amazingly lighter. And it would do us good to learn to sit in his presence and forget about the cares of this world. What odds about the cares of this world? This world is on a collision course with itself. But we are on a course for the New Jerusalem, the course to meet our Heavenly Father. We need to learn to love the Lord more than our worries, and we will be able to find that peace, that calm place in his blessed presence. Why worry? I mean, Jesus tells us, why worry? Do you know worry, the Bible says, is a sin? And there's an old song we used to sing in church when I was going in Sunday school at the time. It was called, Why Worry? When You Can Pray. Touch Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? Worrying does not change anything. The only thing worry does is put years on your life. It will make you sick. There's only one person can take care of everything, and that's Jesus Christ. But now some people might say, Alice, well, I'm worried because I don't know, my house is up on the market and I filed a bankruptcy. I don't know where I'm going to live. Why is God allowing me through this? Well, another part goes along with leaving your worries, and that's trust in God. God is allowing things to happen in our lives. And sometimes he allows it because he has something better for us. Always remember, we are being prepared for heaven. Our characters are being prepared for heaven. Plus, someone down the road that maybe God wants to lead us to, who is going through that same thing, is not a Christian, and we can help them. Trust in God. Claim his promises. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9 indicates that when we focus our attention on the great I am, that's Jesus Christ, other things tend to become very dim. When something happens, your first reaction, our first reaction, I'm preaching to myself this morning, our first reaction needs to be on our knees and take it to the Lord in prayer. In verse 39, Mary found a place where we can feed our souls. Martha was worried over the physical nourishment while Mary was concerned with getting her soul fed. It is no wonder that we are sometimes weak and lacking in spiritual vitality when we never take the time to just come into his presence and feed on him. We find food for our souls and strength for our journey there. And we must have soul food. That's the word of God. Or we will dry up spiritually. Now we all know what dry skin is like. I know I do. And we're constantly putting on hand cream or body lotion. The only cure for a dry soul is Jesus Christ and his holy word. In verse 39, she also found a place where we can focus our priorities. And that's what we all need to get back to. Focus our priorities. We can see in this scripture, the portion of scripture, that Martha and Mary's priorities were totally different. Often the level of spirituality we are able to achieve in life is directly related to the time we are willing to spend in his presence. If everything in our lives takes precedence over being with the Lord, then we are in danger at the heart of our experience. I know we have busy weeks. This week has been busy for me, and no, it's not over yet. And a few nights, I was so tired that I fell asleep. I didn't do my devotion. And I got to tell you, it threw off my whole week. I could feel the Holy Spirit prompting me. And as I was writing this up, that's when it came to me. I'm sorry, Lord. And I made sure I did it that night. I even caught up from not doing it. So yes, we can get busy. And I know we can get the flus, colds, and you don't feel like it. That's the time we need to. Even being overly busy in his work to the point where we have no time to spend with him at his feet is a bad thing. You know, even Jesus, when he was on earth, spent time at the Father's feet while doing the work of his Father. Jesus needed that extra fuel. And look what he was facing, the cross. And we are not any better than he is, and we need it more so. We are facing the coming storm. It has started. And as the days and the years go by, it will get worse. There's a storm coming. And I don't mean snowstorm tomorrow, either. There is literally a spiritual storm that is coming. The more time we spend at his feet, the easier it is to make it a priority in life. The larger he gets in our eyes, the smaller other things seem to become. Let me repeat that. The larger he gets in our eyes, the smaller other things seem to become. So let's ask ourselves the question this morning, is sitting at Jesus' feet a priority in our lives? Verse 42, she found a place where we can find ourselves. Mary found fulfillment and contentment. What she found was worth more than all the money in the world can buy. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you're the richest person on earth. You cannot buy God's love. You cannot buy his gift of salvation because it's all free. Your works will not save you. You can do all you want to help your neighbor. You can do all you want, but your good works will not save you. In fact, just sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary found something that millions who will live their entire lives to find will never yet discover it, yet never discover. And that's sad. She found acceptance and true contentment. No matter what we have done, when we come to Jesus Christ with a humble heart, and with all our mind and soul and heart, ask forgiveness. We are accepted. If Christians could learn the value of spending time at Jesus' feet, you know, folks, we wouldn't need, there's a whole lot of psychiatrists and psychologists that would go out of business. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. There is no fear. There's nothing to fear. We're going to move along a little bit into Mary and Martha's story, and we're going to go to the book of John, verse 11. Book of John, verse 11, chapter 11, and verse 32. John 11, verse 32. Now, this is where Lazarus has died. You remember Lazarus, their brother, a good friend of Jesus. Well, he has died, and they came to Jesus, and the disciples said, well, you know, Lazarus is sick. Can you please come help? And Jesus delayed 4 days. But even when he's delayed, it's still on time. And so Lazarus has died, and Jesus now comes to pay his respects to the family. He meets Martha, but he calls for Mary to come to him. And it says here in verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had not been here, my brother would not have died. Once again, where is she? She's on her knees. She falls. She fell down and at his feet. This is where she is, at his feet. What she finds during this encounter can help us all when we face life difficulties, times of life. Especially the hardest thing we could do is lose a loved one. Be it a child, a parent, even when they're in old age, it's still hard. I believe the longer you have them, the harder it is when you lose them. And so Mary, yes, and if anyone here has lost a loved one, you know how Mary felt. Her heart was aching. It was her only brother whom she loved. And she knew Jesus could heal him. She didn't think about that he could raise him. But she found in verse 28 of that same chapter that the Lord has an interest in the needs of his people. In their conversation, Jesus demonstrated a great concern for and interest in their need. After speaking with Martha, he calls for Mary and is concerned about the grief and pain that they are experiencing. Yes, God knows what grief and pain is. His son went to a cross. God knows what we go through. And the song that says, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? Though my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he sees, and oh, yes, he cares." Never think for an instant that God does not care for you. He cares for you even if you're not serving him the way you should. When you are told that God doesn't care, that is a direct lie from Satan himself. It is a satanic statement. God does care, and he loves us all very much. He's extremely interested in everything that you and I face in life. And the Bible confirms that in Psalm 138 and 6. Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Let's just have a quick look at those chapters. Now, bear with me because I have a new Bible here I got yesterday or the day before. And some of the pages are stuck together. Let me see. Psalm 138. Okay. 138, verse 6. "Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, and the proud he knows afar off. He knows sinner and saint." Isaiah 49, 16. And I love this part. It says, "See, I have inscribed on you, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me." He even knows, for those of us who have here, even when, like myself, I'm losing here, how many hairs are on our head and in the beards. He knows. And why wouldn't he? He made us. But our names are on the palms of his hand. Also in verse 28 of that chapter of John 11, the Lord's invitation is to his people. Jesus called for Mary to come unto himself. She responded and came. Jesus is calling us to come to him. And we should respond. When she got there, she was able to place her burdens upon the Lord. Give it to him. He's got big shoulders. You see, Jesus invited all his children to come unto him and experience what he can do in a time of crisis. You know, if I didn't have, and I think there's a song, and I think, Leah, if you can remember it, it says, if I didn't have a problem, I'd never know Jesus could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And there's the word faith. Trust him. Nothing you can do about it. The problem, only the one you can, that's Jesus. And if he'll bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. You just got to trust him. I want to read a quote from The Desire of Ages, which happens to be in my Bible, actually. 14, page 85. 14. I went and got the Remnant Special Forces Study Bible. That's from Amazing Facts, and I'm enjoying it, I must say. So I'm going to turn to that page now, and she had a quote. This is Bringing Burdens to Jesus. It's a quote from The Desire of Ages, page 329. The elder brother of our race is by the eternal throne. He looks upon every soul who is turning his face toward him as the Savior. He knows by experience what are the weaknesses of humanity, what are our wants, and where lies the strength of our temptations. For he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is watching over you, trembling child of God. Are you wounded? He will deliver. Are you weak? He will strengthen. Are you ignorant? He will enlighten. Are you wounded? He will heal. Come unto me is his invitation. Whatever your anxieties and trials, spread out your case before the Lord. Your spirit will be braced for endurance. The way will be opened for you to disentangle yourself from embarrassment and difficulty. Don't try to do stuff on your own. Trust me, it don't work. I've been there, done that, moved on. The weaker and more helpless you know yourself to be, the stronger will you become in his, not yours, his strength. The heavier your burdens, the more blessed the rest in casting them upon the burden bearer. The rest that Christ offers depends upon conditions, though. But these conditions are plainly specified. They are those with which all can comply. He didn't make it difficult for us to comply with his conditions. He tells us just how his rest is to be found. Very simple. Just come. Come as you are. Verses 34 to 42 of John chapter 11, the Lord's intercession on behalf of his people. Mary and Martha poured out their hearts unto him. Jesus turned to his heavenly Father and prayed on their behalf. He is always interceding for us. He does the same for you and me. When we take our burdens to the Lord, the entire Trinity gets involved. The Son, Jesus Christ, prays for us. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, guides us and comforts us. And three, the Father God, opens the storehouses of heaven and moves circumstances on earth to see that our need is met. He also intervenes for us. And Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they will move mountains to meet your need. Jesus superseded the laws of nature to meet the need of his people. And they will move heaven and all earth to meet our needs. When Lazarus was raised, Mary had many needs met. As she watched the Lord perform this miracle, she understood the Lord's purpose and the Lord's power. Are we spending time at his feet calling out to him about our needs? Never fear that he doesn't care or want you to come to him. He invites us all to come sit at his feet. And finally, we go to the chapter 12 of John. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Again, we see Lazarus now has been raised from the dead, and they're holding a potluck at their house. And Jesus has been invited. And where again do we find Mary? Where's Mary found? Sitting at Jesus' feet. And she's willing to pay whatever price is necessary to serve him and be a blessing to her Lord. You see, it's at Jesus' feet that we make our sacrifice. Mary took a very expensive oil of spikenard, poured it at his dusty feet. Now, she probably paid a year's wages for this. She gave up her most treasured possession. What is our most treasured possession that we are willing to give up for our Lord? Sometimes it's a hard decision, yes. But Mary gave her best. She gave all to the Lord she loved. And we should do no less. When we give our all to him, we are displaying our love for him. When we shortchange Jesus with our time, our tithes, and our talents, we are not displaying our love for him. Did you hear that? When we shortchange Jesus with our time, our tithes, and our talents. Now, talents, we're not all great singers. We're not all these opera singers. We're not all preachers of the gospel. I don't consider myself one. I'm just a servant doing best I can. But each one of us has something. And I had a friend say to me, well, I'm obviously not doing nothing for the Lord. I said, what do you mean? Well, she said, the only thing I can do is just help out in the kitchen. I said, that's what you're doing for the Lord. You're helping to physically feed God's children. And each one of us has a talent. I don't care who you are or how old you are or you think you don't. You do. Everyone has it. It could be helping others financially. It could just be a word of encouragement to somebody that you have a talent for. We all, so if we shortchange Jesus with our time, tithes, and talent, we are not displaying our love for him. And his desire is that he be given our all. Anything less is a slight to the Lord. And after all, didn't he give his all for us? A little story, a little tiny story. It says, many people treat the Lord like this little fellow who called his girlfriend and said, darling, I love you. I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest stream for you. I'd fight a jungle of lions for you. Oh, and if it doesn't rain, I'll be over to see you tonight. You see, folks, this really isn't love. When you got a but, or if in your walk with Christ, you're not following, you're not giving your all. Genuine love knows no boundaries and no conditions. It's freely given and asks nothing in return. Do we love him like we should? Or do we ask for things in return? Have you prayed your Gethsemane this morning? Have you prayed, Lord, if it's not my will, thy will be done, as the Lord prayed in Gethsemane? In that passage of scripture, in verse 3, we found that Mary gave up self. And the Bible tells us we are to die to self every day. Mary used her hair, her beautiful hair the Lord gave her when she was being formed in her mother's womb. She didn't care what others thought. And why should we? We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is coming back to take us home. This world, they can laugh all they want, but they're soon going to have a very rude awakening. When that trumpet sounds and God says no more, she didn't care what other people thought. And I was thinking, too, when Debbie had that children's story this morning, that little girl did not care where she was or who was around her. She had a mission, and that was to pray for those police officers. And we should be praying for them, by the way, all the time. Anyone who are first responders, it's not easy life. Granted, they are doing a great service, but it is not an easy life. But God is using them. And they need our prayers more than ever. So she took her hair. I don't know how long. Maybe it was down past her, down to her knees. I don't know. But she took her hair. And as the oil was poured, she dried his feet. What love. Her primary focus was loving and serving and honoring her Savior. You know, there's another way to do that too. That's love your enemies. I know it's hard. It's hard to love someone who's done you really wrong. But remember this, that Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. And the Bible says we are to forgive them, because if we don't, God won't forgive us. We are to forgive them. We are to love them. Pray for them. Yes, it's hard, but that's another part of giving up yourself. When we come to sit at Jesus' feet, we will get to the place where we do not care what others may think of us, and I don't care what others think. I couldn't care less. If that's your opinion, that's your problem. But I serve a risen Savior. And I'm going to do what he tells me, because soon, very soon, he's coming back. And I will give account as to what I've done. Did I follow his Ten Commandments? Did I love my neighbor as myself? Did I help those who've hurt me? We will only have him and his glory as the focus of our lives. He will fill our thoughts and motives, and we will lose sight of self in the glorious, glorious light of his person. Therefore, we should allow, here's the bad word, pride. Bible tells us pride goes before a fall. We should allow our pride to die and show a lost and dying world that we are not ashamed to worship. We are not ashamed to witness or work for the glory of him who died, that says, I'm very proud of our pathfinders. Steph, doing this work out here. Bible says, and a little child shall lead them. But we are all pathfinders. I don't care how old we are. From age zero up to age 115, we are all pathfinders. Don't be ashamed. If you're in the Avalon Mall, and I've done this, in the Avalon Mall, I saw a friend that we laid to rest there about last month. She was the former pastor's wife of a church I used to attend years ago at Edel. And she told me at the time that her husband Graham was not very well. And right there on those steps that come up there by Reapman's at the Avalon Mall, we had prayer. Don't be ashamed to say grace when you're in a restaurant. After all, it's through God's hands and God's Holy Spirit that we have food to eat. It can all be destroyed because God is holding back the four winds of strife. The angels are. But one day he won't be. We should be thankful. I have an aunt. She forgot to say the blessing one day at the restaurant. Anyway, later that night, she became sick. So now she says it all the time, even for a stick of chewing gum. She'll ask the blessing. Always be thankful. The Bible says we are to be in an attitude of prayer constantly. It doesn't necessarily mean down on your feet, down on your knees. You could be doing dishes. Could be traveling the highway like I was this morning and Bill had prayer as we were coming over to Trans-Canada. I was looking and watching what I was doing, but in my mind, I was also praying too. And I was praying, Lord, keep them moose asleep. But we are supposed to be always in the attitude of prayer. You may not remember all the names of people that need prayer. I don't always. I've got a very forgetful mind. If you would ask me what I did this morning when I first got out of bed, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I know I can pray, and I know I prayed. That I do know. Whether it was just in my mind, in the shower, in the bathroom, doing dishes, at my sewing, even reading a book. We should always be the attitude of prayer. And I said, Lord, I don't remember this person, but you know who it is, and you can meet their need as you see fit. Now, always, it's always as you see fit, Lord. In verse 7, as well as in Mark 14, 8 to 9, it makes a statement. As Mary was criticized for her devotion to and display of love for Jesus, he stepped up to her defense. He told those present to leave her alone. She was doing her part to honor him. When somebody criticizes you, and I listened to Whitley Phibbs last night. He had a wonderful message on YouTube, Satanic something or other. Anyway, see, I can't remember that, but I remember what was said. He said, people will criticize you, the way you preach, the way you're here, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you speak, the way you cough, the way you sneeze, the whole enchilada. But if you're doing something for the Lord, just look at them and say, I lost my place. Leave me alone. I am doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I even go as far as say, if you don't like what I'm doing, there's the door. But I'll be praying for you. I had a person tell me that one time. They were gay. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And they said, no, I don't want you praying for me. I said, look, you can't stop me from praying. And I'm going to pray for you anyway, whether you like it or don't. So get over it. And I have been, and I'm still praying for them. You see, Jesus honored her, awarded her a place in history by his comments in Mark 14, verses 8 to 9. Through the ages, this selfish sacrifice gesture by Mary has continued to make a bold statement today. Even I'm here speaking about it. When we take time to sit at Jesus' feet like we should, it too makes a statement. We are telling the world that Jesus is paramount in our lives. We are showing them how important he is to us. And we are not ashamed to be associated with him. You see, sitting at Jesus' feet will show on each one of us. However, the reverse is also true. because it will also show on you when you do not take the time to sit at his feet. So, question is, where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, just loving him? Don't be afraid to get too close. Don't be afraid to get close to Jesus. Don't be afraid. If you might be afraid in the dead, he's going to ask you to do something. Don't be afraid. Do it. And just love him. Learn from him. Listen to him. Listen to what and he will tell you things, if not directly into your conscience, but also from other people. You know, it's amazing how God works when we learn to sit at his feet. This has been a busy week, but I'm so glad I learned to sit at his feet. And all the worries and cares and wondering if that's going to happen when it should, or if this is going to happen when it should. And you know, God's been teaching me patience. I've had to have need of patience. He's been teaching it this past 5 years. But he's not finished yet. He's still working on me, and he's still working on each one of us. And we need to take time to sit at his feet. I challenge each one of us here today to come to the feet of Jesus and let's find our place there. There's a place there for you. There's a place there for me. And be all that Jesus wants us to be, because the only secure place in this world is sitting at Jesus' feet. It is the mercy seat. It is God's security system for his children. The Lord bless you this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the mercy seat. I thank you we can sit at your feet and humbly lay all our burdens at your feet, that we learn from you, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll find us there more often as we go about our daily duties, that you will guide us as we separate now, Lord, to our different homes. May we pray more for the sinners that are in this world. We pray for each other, Lord, that each one of us will be right when the Lord comes, when the time comes that we have to take a literal stand, when we are faced with humongous persecution, and when we're asked, who do we serve? We will boldly and proudly stand, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and that's you, Jesus Christ. With all my heart, with all my strength, with all my mind. Lord, I know sometimes it's hard when we come to you that we seem like we got to have a little bit of something to do with the problem. But Lord, help us not to go ahead of you. Help us, Father, to rely on you and lean on you. And Lord, give us the faith that we need each day to trust you more and more. So, Father, that when a problem comes and we're worried about things, concerned about things, that we won't even bother to think, that won't even come in our minds when we think we got to do something, but we'll just come to you and let you deal with it. And we'll trust you. And sometimes, Lord, when we don't hear you, we'll trust your heart. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.